I'm Todd DeFeo, editor of railfanning.org. In the January 18th, 2021 edition of the podcast, I mentioned a recent conversation I had with Operation Lifesaver Executive Director Rachel Millay. We talked about railroad safety and how rail fans can help spread the message and keep people safe along the tracks. Watching trains and rail fanning is fun, but as every rail fan should know, it's only fun when done at a safe distance and respectful of trains. Trains are potentially dangerous, and everyone should be safe around the tracks, whether they're watching trains or crossing the tracks at a legal crossing. The number of rail incidents in the country is declining, but, as with so many issues in life, one is too many. It's hard to believe, but in America, a train strikes a person or a vehicle about every 3 hours.
So, Cap, thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm really excited to talk about Operation Lifesaver and some of the safety improvements that have happened and some of the things that we can do moving forward. So you mentioned that it seems like incidents happen frequently, and yes, and actually, while incidents have gone down 81% across the country since Operation Lifesaver was created in 1972, we still have a lot of work to do because there is an incident, meaning a person or a vehicle is struck in the United States every 3 hours. I mean, can you believe that? Every 3 hours in the United States, round the clock, every 3 hours, there is an incident. So we have a lot of work to do on how to educate people and empower people to be safe on and around railroad tracks and trains.
Would you say there are misperceptions when it comes to trains, that people maybe have a misperception about whether it's the safety elements of the train? People don't realize that they're massive in terms of size. They can't just stop when they come upon somebody on the tracks, that they're not, I mean, they are very dangerous, potentially dangerous if we're not respectful of them. So, I mean, is it a misperception that people have? And then if so, how do you go about changing those misperceptions?
Well, I think there is some misperception. I think there's some distractions. We'll talk a little bit about both. And I think there's also a glamour, right, around trains. I mean, your listeners love trains because they're beautiful, right? But we see people take selfies on train tracks, see photographers being too close in the right of way. And not being safe, or people assuming that since they've never seen a train or there's a weeds growing through the train track, that it's not an active or live train track, and that's not true. So we always tell people, see tracks, think train. I mean, some of the misconceptions that people have, like you said, yes, trains take a long time to stop. It can take a freight train more than a mile to stop. And for those of you who don't remember that 50-yard dash or the mile run in gym class, 1 mile is 18 football fields. That's a long time for a train to stop. Trains also can't swerve, right? Oftentimes we're a driving culture, and we can swerve out of the way. But trains can't swerve. They're on the track. So I think that's the misconception. Is how quickly trains can stop. I think the power of trains. I mean, if you have a soda can and a car runs over it and you see the visual of a car crushing a soda can, that's the equivalent of the impact of a train crushing a car or a vehicle. So it is powerful and dangerous. And I think that's the misconception that people don't have or have about trains. I think the distance to stop, I think also the distractions that I discussed. I think people are walking with earbuds in their ears while they're walking, even at pedestrian crossings, right, at the approved crossings. They're walking and they're not stopping and looking or paying attention to the gates and the flashing lights. They're listening to their earbuds. So they're not aware of what's around them. Same thing with drivers, right? There are more distractions. When I was learning how to drive, it was just the radio and the 8-track tape. I am dating myself. But now there are more distractions beyond music in the car. There's the cell phone. We're pleased that Waze has started announcing when vehicles are coming up on railroad tracks. So that is, an alert, an advance warning, which we're really pleased about. We also think that there's some glamour in railroad track. I mentioned the selfies. I mean, we frequently are sending correspondence to advertisers asking them not to show and glamorize runners on track, fishing off of bridges or trestles, because there's only room for train on bridges, trestles, and tunnels. Oftentimes people will see a trestle or a bridge and they see what they think is a walkway. When that train's coming, there's no walkway. So I think, you know, educating people about rail safety is really important, because it is something that they can do to empower themselves to be safe around trains and tracks. Don't run the gate. Do not walk when or drive around the gate. Don't try to beat the train. Be alert. Don't walk on the track. Don't walk in the right of way. Don't fish. And know what to do if your vehicle gets stuck on the track.
Actually, I'd like to take a little bit of a detour on that, because you mentioned the selfies, for example, and social media in general. That seems like that's been a big problem, if that's the right way to say it. But I mean, that seems like that has maybe just expounded a problem. People love to take selfies everywhere. If you've ever been anywhere, people love to stand at the edge of a cliff and they like to take a picture of themselves. And certainly railroad tracks, I guess people have a perception that that makes a nice background, but it, to your point, it is incredibly dangerous. And I've seen it. I've been walking, not even watching trains. I've just been walking next to the, there's a town near where I live where the train goes right through the middle next to the town square, and people love all the time to just take pictures. And a couple weeks ago, I told some folks to get off the tracks, and people think you're being rude when you say it. They think you're being not nice, but you're just trying to alert them that there's a real danger to it. So from your perspective, has social media in some ways maybe exacerbated the problem, made it a little bit worse, where people want to stand out on the tracks and take pictures?
Well, I don't know if it's made it worse or compounded it, because it's not just social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's photographers, it's wedding shoots, it's, you know, so that would be professional photographers, it's advertisers, it's movies, you know. So I think there is this mystique about the romance or the beauty of taking selfies. I think selfies are, you know, yes, more popular now than a professional photo shoot, and it's more accessible for more people. But I think what people don't realize, in addition to the danger of taking these photographs on the track, is that it's private property and they're trespassing and they can be arrested and fined. So it's multiple layers that they're putting themselves in danger. And they can take control of that and just not take the photograph, right? They won't injure themselves or their clients or their friends and family. We have a campaign about Stop Track Tragedies.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as a campaign, No Photo is Worth the Risk. And we can share those resources with you. They're available on our webpage at oli.org. But the Stop Track Tragedy specifically, we have a video of a mother talking about her son, who him and his girlfriend were taking, I believe it was their graduation pictures, on the tracks. And the girlfriend was able to get out of the way, but the son was not. And she never, the mother, never thought to teach her children about the dangers of being on and around railroad tracks. And it's heartbreaking to see that video. But the importance of the message is so important that it's worth seeing it.
It's interesting, maybe not the right term, but if you think of a highway as another example, people wouldn't be as keen to maybe stand out in the middle of an interstate and take pictures. And yet, for some reason, when they get around train tracks, maybe it's just because there's not always, I certainly agree with the point, you should always expect a train, but there are gaps between trains, a little bit different flow than maybe a highway. It's just interesting. It's always been interesting to me that people mm-hmm. wouldn't do some of this thing in the middle of a busy intersection, but yet when it comes to trains, they stop thinking or they just think differently, or they don't maybe have the expectation, or they don't maybe see the potential downsides.
Well, one of the things, Todd, that we talk about as a comparison is you wouldn't do this on a runway.
Right?
You wouldn't drive on a runway. You wouldn't go stand on a runway. You wouldn't take a picture with a plane landing behind you or taking off, right? You know, and the runway is private property. So why would you do that on train tracks? I think that goes to the misperception and how people relate to trains. They may see them through their town, so they think it's benign, or they may never see them on the track, so they think they'll never come. But trains don't run on schedules, and we should expect a train anytime in any direction.
My site, and I think this is a great opportunity, we cater toward people who love trains, whether they like to watch them from a safe distance, whether they, like I do, like to explore the history of why is there a rail line through my town? What's the history of it? How did it come to be?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just, people love exploring history of the railroad companies themselves. So what is it that maybe the diehard rail fans or the casual observers, people who like trains but like to do it safely? I think I'm always of the belief if you're a rail fan and you appreciate trains and their history, part of that, there's a responsibility that goes with it. If you like to do it in a safe manner, you like to follow the rules. If you're going to watch trains, you're going to stand back an appropriate distance. What is it that the rail fanning community can do to help with Operation Lifesaver's mission?
Well, I think the rail fan community can help us get our education and rail safety message out. And I will say, I am married to a rail fan, and I have a couple of, the Northeast Corridor in my basement and the South Shore, in another location of the house. So, I know how passionate rail fans are, and I think that passion can translate to how to be passionate and a fan safely. And some of the things that they can do, the way Operation Lifesaver is organized is we're at the national office, myself and my three colleagues, and we create tools and resources. And again, all of those materials are available on our website. And I'm really excited to say that in a couple of weeks, we'll be launching a variety of new resources and collaterals. So stay tuned for that. And we have state programs in 44 states, as well as the District of Columbia around the country. Georgia is one of our very strong programs. And our state coordinator in Georgia, Jenny Glasgow, is always looking for volunteers. Jenny, just as an aside, is the longest-serving state coordinator in the OLI family of programs around the country. And she's one of, if not the first, among the first state coordinators in our program. And she's always looking for volunteers. And Operation Lifesaver Authorized Volunteers, or OLOG, go through an online training. And then they have a, pre-COVID, we were doing face-to-face training. So they go through a training process. And then once they're authorized to be a volunteer, then they can go out into their communities and present the rail safety message to drivers' ed classes, to classrooms, to Kiwanis Club, a variety of community organizations. We also have Rail Safety Week, which is 1 week dedicated in September, where our state programs and volunteers are mobilized throughout the country, focused on one theme a day during Rail Safety Week. So rail fans can become volunteers through Operation Lifesaver. But individually, what they could do is they could stay at least 15 feet from the nearest rail. If they are taking photographs, they can definitely stay off the track and right away. And they can always expect a train anytime, help us, like you just said, tell people to get off the track if you notice that, and prevent tragedies in their own communities. To know that the only safe and legal place for anyone to cross the track is at a designated crossing, and to always look both ways for a train before proceeding. If they're driving, never stop on the track for that red light. Make sure that your car stops and you have enough room between not just the car in front of you, but let the car in front of you go on the other side of the track so that you stay behind the track and you're at least 15 feet back. So you never want to be on the track on a red light. And I think the last and most important thing that rail fans, but any of us can do is make sure that our family and friends know what to do if their vehicle gets stuck on the track or if you see something on the track that shouldn't be there. I know when I go across the country and I ask people, what's the first thing you should do when you get if you get stuck on the track? What would you say, Todd, to that?
Get out of your car. Get to a
sure
safe location.
Yeah, and I'm sure all your listeners would say that. It's amazing how many people, not in the industry or a rail fan, you know, don't know. I'll call AAA, I'll call 911. But the first thing, and I can't stress that enough, the first thing to do is get everyone out of the vehicle and far away from the vehicle. The second thing is to look for the ENS sign or the emergency notification system sign, which is that blue and white sign on the crosswalk. And that has a toll-free number and a location identification. And when you call that toll-free number, you will be connected with the rail dispatcher, and you give them that location, and you tell them there's a vehicle stuck on the track. There's a tree blocking the track. And the dispatcher will get the message to the train. And that is the quickest way to get the message to the train. If you can't find the ENS sign or there isn't one, call 911. But the first two steps, if your vehicle is stuck on the train, is critical. And rail fans can help us share that message with their friends and family who may not be aware of that. And we have a great public service announcement about the ENS sign, also available on our website at oli.org. Or we can share that with you if you'd like to put that on your website as well.
Absolutely.
So those are a couple of things.
Absolutely. And I should, you should connect with my wife, and I give you my condolences for being married to a rail fan. She knows exactly what that that entails. And
I think it's okay. It's a good hobby, and I will say I have seen some beautiful curves across the country, right? And because he also, not only is my husband a model railroader, he likes to photograph trains. So we've been to the Altoona Curve and to Halapache Curve and a couple of, and it's beautiful, with or without a train. The scenery is absolutely beautiful. But we are well behind and away from the track.
Absolutely. There's a safe way to watch trains. And I actually, you can appreciate them. I think farther back actually is a better way to appreciate them anyway than standing next to the tracks.
Well, it's one of those things, like I personally think of watching trains and the distance of tracks, it's like fireworks, right? Like I love fireworks, but I'm not going to get right there where they're launching the fireworks. I'm going to be a safe distance from the fireworks so that I can appreciate and enjoy them safely and still, you know, get the majestic view.
Absolutely, and that's a perfect analogy. I appreciate that because that is a great analogy of it. And sometimes I don't know. We get so excited about the trains, maybe sometimes that we let safety go, which is unfortunate. But we certainly should not. Additional thoughts on this, or what else? You mentioned some initiatives that are coming up this year. I guess I'd love to just open the floor, and if there's other points you'd like to make, and maybe actually one other question, if you don't mind. We talked a little bit about, calling the rail dispatchers and calling 911. Is there additional technology, maybe even that you'd like to see that maybe we could look at, sort of using the broader we there, railroads maybe could look at, or if there's federal legislation or anything else that you'd like to see from a technology standpoint that might help on the safety front?
So Operation Lifesaver is a nonprofit. We're not a lobbying group, so we don't advocate for legislation, but I did have the honor of testifying before the House Rail Subcommittee at the beginning of last year of 2020, which seems like 5 years ago, right? And I was able to share how Operation Lifesaver gets the rail safety message out across the country through our state programs and how we are leveraging our federal funds as well as private funds for greater impact around the country. But I think, Waze, I think, was a huge improvement and something that we are happy to see because a lot of people use GPS in their vehicles, and pleased that that's there. I think technology is great, but if we don't take the safety tips, it doesn't matter how great the technology is, right? If we don't stop when the gates are down, then it doesn't matter what the technology is telling us. So I think we need to do the, as you call them, the basic safety measures, and we can see improvement. We need to be alert, avoid distractions, not drive around the gates, cross it at designated crossings.
If you have one more moment, I wanted to revisit. You mentioned reaching out to advertisers as well at times to alert them to the dangers and maybe get them to rethink if it's stock photography or with models posing on railroad tracks. How has the response been? Are people open to that? Do they respond to that positively? Have you seen much change when you've reached out?
You know, I think it's, I'd say it's 50-50. A lot of advertisers and photographers, they don't realize that one, it's private property, and two, that while their photograph may have been done in a safe method and way, they're not telling people that it was done safely, right? That they worked with the railroad or that they had permission. People see the photograph and they think, oh, I can do that. Let me go do that. So I think it presents a lot of copycats without direction. And that perception is that it is safe to take photos. And I think it is part of the education that we provide. And we've had some really positive pickup and changes of advertisement, which is good. It's, you know, much like changing daily behavior, it is it's a daily and hourly work that we do. It is something that we are mindful of all the time.
I guess I'll just throw out one more question. And again, really appreciate your taking time to chat with me today. What's your hope for 2021 now that we're finally out of 2020? And I know it's we still have some sort of lingering effects of in 2021 with obviously COVID and everything still going on. But what would be a successful 2021 from your perspective?
I think a successful 2021 for us would be not only to continue getting the rail safety message out, but really having an impact in the statistics. I'd like to see that every 3-hour number increase, you know, to every 10 hours or to not even exist. I know that's not something I can accomplish in 1 year, but every year I have a goal of not needing Operation Lifesaver, of reducing incidents down to zero consistently for many years, and rail safety just being intuitive. So that is one of my goals that I start every year with Operation Lifesaver, is that we are successful in saving lives and reducing incidents.
Absolutely. It's a great goal, and obviously, we would love to assist however we can. So when new programs and new initiatives launch, please keep us in the loop, and we'd be more than happy to share the news with everybody.
Great. Well, thank you, and I hope you can plan and save the date for Rail Safety Week in 2021, which is September 20 through 26. And as we get our assets available and promotional material for our partners, we hope you'll join us in celebrating Rail Safety Week and getting the message out.
Absolutely, and I would love to have you back on when that date gets a little bit closer.
Great, I'd love to. Thank you so much, Todd.
Appreciate it very much. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. We have several exciting interviews lined up for future episodes, so please subscribe and check back. For railfanning.org, I'm Todd DeFeo. Be sure to log on to railfanning.org for more news, features, and photos from the rails.